Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Do you know how happy I am that we slept together?
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it. Oh, yeah.
I'm not a stranger to the dark.
Come on, girls. Let's go shopping.
We procured for him. He used us as bait.
Gonna stomp your little last season Prada shoes at me.
Let the storm rage on.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are looking at the representation of gay pornography in queer cinema. So, in particular, Alan, you're already giving me faces, Alan.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not. This is just you blushing, Daniel. And I must admit, it's a gorgeous shade. Rose pink. You look very cute when you blush, Daniel. Has anyone told you that?
I'm waiting for the puns to start because We've looked at gay pornography in queer cinema before
You
were all about the puns evening.
Well, you know, I don't want to wear it out. I don't want to rub it out, so to speak.
See what I mean? It's already started. And actually, that's quite salacious for you and puns. Last time you were a little bit softer on the puns.
I was, yeah. Don't worry. You know, I'm sure something will pop up as we go through the evening.
Well, there's going to be puns abound this evening because we are spotlighting the representation of gay pornography in queer cinema. And in particular, we're looking at how queer cinema employs representations of pornography to interrogate the relationship between religion, culture, familial duties, and sexual liberation. So, Alan, we know there's a whole stream of queer cinema that kind of interrogates the tension between convention and what seemed to be subversive, you know, sexuality as this kind of subversion.
Isn't that every queer / gay film we see and talk about?
So tonight we're looking at...
Isn't it a central core theme?
It's, you know, the tension in so many queer films turns on that interrogation. And so tonight we're looking at how gay pornography is used as a mechanism for that interrogation and for that tension. Our guest is Tomer Heyman, the director of Mr. Gaga and Who's Gonna Love Me Now, who joins us to talk about his new documentary, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life is an intimate look at the world of gay pornography and escorting and the unique relationship between gay porn star Jonathan Agassi and his mother. It screens as part of the Jewish International Film Festival later this month. And we love the Jewish International Film Festival because they always have a spate of really interesting and niche queer films that we don't see at some of the better known queer film festivals. Yeah. And Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life is just one of the queer documentaries screening at this year's festival. And it really does interrogate the interrelation between religion, culture, familial duty, and sexuality. And it pairs really, really well with a film like Jamison Pierce's Adult, a short film that we've looked at on the program before, but we'll be re-looking at it this evening and revisiting some of the conversation that we had with Jamison Pierce when his short film Adult screened at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. And of course, how could we not look at a film like King Cobra when we take stock of this niche pocket of queer cinema?
That's right, Daniel, and I'll have to give you a virtual high five for such wonderful curation this evening.
I'll take that high five. Thank you.
You know, bringing those three films together, I thought, man, that just shows some true class and expertise in the subject matter. And who knew? Who knew we would get that on this program? I'm very proud of you, Daniel.
I don't know what you're trying to say by
I am giving you some kudos. I'm saying, well done.
Well, I'll take that virtual high five because they're few and far between.
And our listeners should be just sitting there waiting for the, I don't know, the money shot of this particular episode, potentially.
Cause you're filthy.
Scissor Sisters with Filthy Gorgeous, just one of the great tracks from the King Cobra soundtrack. What a great film, and it really did have a great soundtrack.
I think that was the best thing about that film, Daniel, was the soundtrack.
So perhaps you don't agree with the statement, what a great film.
Definitely not. How could you tell?
We will be exploring the film on the program later this evening. I know you take issue with this film, but I think King Cobra, this is, of course, Justin Kelly's. It's a 2016 film dealing with the life and the scandal of Brent Corrigan. Of course, the murder of his...
producer at Copra Films.
Yeah, so what a scandalous subject matter for a film, and despite how scandalous...
It's a real story based on facts.
Yeah. True story. But what I love about the film is, you know, this is a great example of how pornography and the gay porn industry can be used in queer cinema as a mechanism to explore queer identity. Because I think ultimately what King Cobra does so well is toy with the idea of identity. You know, pornography becomes a medium through which Brent Corrigan or Sean Paul Lockhart actually comes to understand and know his own self and his own identity. There is this constant play and interrogation of identity in King Cobra that I really do appreciate.
You know, I'll run with that about Brent Corrigan himself. I thought, you know, definitely we've got an exploration of identity there. But when it comes to the rest of the characters, I thought that, I thought they were definitely lost in a complete fantasy land, and a lot of those characters were completely unlikable and quite creepy from memory. Just the Christian Slater character. Ooh, such a creepy man. But I think we'll come to talk about that a little bit later on in the program when we come to talk about King Cobra again, yeah?
Well, just like King Cobra, a film that does, I think, explore and interrogate these ideas of identity culture and class is Jamison Pierce's short film Adult. That's a short film that screened at MQFF a couple of years back. It screened at a number of other festivals around this country and indeed internationally, including the Greek Film Festival. And we had a look at this short film when it screened at the Greek Film Festival a few years back. What I love about this film is it's based on a Christos Chalkis novel. I always butcher his surname and I've done it again, damn it.
You do. But you know, excuse me, sorry. He wrote
The Slap. And
Head On.
Loaded. Head On was the film. Loaded was the book. Jesus Man.
Barracuda.
He's written a lot of great work.
Dead Europe. Great Australian
Dead
author.
Europe. That's the book that I was couldn't put my finger on the name of. I was going to go Chalkis. That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
What he does so well is this interrogation of intersectional identities. You know, on the one hand, we have an interrogation of what it means to be of a particular class in the Australian community. And on the other hand, we have an interrogation of sexuality and an interrogation of culture, interrogation of kind of historical legacy and familial duty. All of these ideas are kind of thrown into the pressure cooker that is a Chalkis novel or story. And out comes this great exploration of identity. And that was certainly the case for his short story Porn One, which is the basis of Jamison Pierce's short film Adult. And it is this great interrogation of identity, but at the same time, a wonderful interrogation of the relationship between a traditional mother and what she perceives to be her subversive son.
And without a doubt, Christos Chalkis is an incredibly sharp observer of the Australian culture and landscape, and that comes out so well in his books. And in particular in this film, I think not only do you get that intersection, as you're saying, Daniel, of all of those layers, I think what you also get here is you get a really emotional, heartfelt story of a woman who is grieving and trying to understand her son and try to gain some sort of acceptance and realization of his life. So for me, that's what came out from that film for me.
Well, what I love about this film and why I think it pairs so well with a documentary like Jonathan Agassi's Saved My Life, the documentary that we'll be spotlighting this evening, what I love about it is it's this exploration of a relationship between a mother and a son. and the son just happens to be a gay porn star, you know, and that's really at the heart of this new documentary from Tom Eyre Hayman, who we know for documentaries like Mr. Gaga and Who's Gonna Love Me Now. You know, he does, Tom Eyre is really good at exploring familial relationships, and he does that again with this documentary, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. He zeroes in on the relationship between Jonathan Agassi, gay porn star, and his mother. And I love the contrast of the way that that relationship is explored in Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life and the way that Jamison Pierce explores the relationship between a mother and her gay porn star dead son in the short film Adult. Because, that's of course, right. Adult is about a gay porn star who dies under suspicious circumstances, and the film really starts when his mother finds out about his death and goes into a video store to track down some of his gay porn work. Mm-hmm. This is all she has now that's left of him, that and the memories that the film kind of flashes back to. And so we have this kind of cutting backward and forward in Adult of her sitting and watching him perform gay sex scenes on video and her recollections of him as a child.
That's right. I mean, incredibly uncomfortable, really, watching that, trying to put yourself in the shoes of the mother or yourself as the potential porn star son, having someone watch your films like that. And again, I think that comes across quite, that correlates very well with Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life, because here you have a mother who has complete oversight, complete understanding of his porn star and escort lifestyle.
Yes.
And he does, they share no, you know, there are no secrets. She knows everything. And in fact, he actually plays the start of one of his films for her. So,
yes, he does.
Do you see that? And so, again, incredibly uncomfortable viewing for me. I mean, goodness gracious, could you imagine showing your parents your sex tape or your porn video? I mean, hello.
I guess he's used to it. I guess this is what he does for it. We'll be exploring Jonathan Agassi Save My Life later in the program when we speak with its director, Tom Eyre Hayman. I did get a sense watching the documentary that some of the scenes were contrived for the purpose of the documentary.
Oh, really? Like what?
Are you being sarcastic?
No. Like what? What do you think was contrived?
A lot of the scenes.
Did you feel it was produced? Or not, well, not yes, just Jonathan we, just being but, his but hang crazy on,
this
self?
This idea that documentarians are just observers and capture the kind of natural habitat as they see it is well debunked. We know that that's not what documentaries often are. Documentaries are often as contrived as narrative films. And there's certainly an extent to which this film is contrived as well. I mean, we have Tom Eyre on the program later this evening, so we can certainly ask him.
Yeah, fine, let's do it.
You know, how much of this documentary is contrived? Even Tom Eyre, you know, he breaks that fourth wall at one point, and we see him actually enter the film, as it were.
Now, talk about confronting and disturbing that particular scene. Oh my God! Wow.
Well, that scene involves an overdose, doesn't it?
It's literally an overdose where Jonathan really just completely almost has a psychotic break and is really in need of medical attention. So to see the documentarian actually, as you say, have to break the fourth wall and go in and lend assistance, I mean, that's pretty shocking stuff.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably a good point at which to advise our listeners that we are dealing with some risque and perhaps potentially triggering themes.
Extreme adult themes.
The program this evening. So listener discretion is advised. And we might actually shoot off some numbers later in the program if anything that we discuss is triggering. But for now, please feel free to message us and join in the conversation this evening. The number's 0427JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. Let us know if there's a film that you particularly love that deals with gay pornography. And again, we don't mean films that are gay pornography. That's not what we're looking at this evening.
That's not what we're talking about. That's absolutely.
No. But there's a great many films that deal with this subject matter. Films like, for instance, Going Down in La La Land, the 2001 film The Fluffer. These are queer films that dabble in the world of gay pornography. And just like the films that we're looking at this evening, use pornography as this kind of lens and mechanism through which to examine queer identity. So a full-on program this evening. We are, of course, exploring these themes as they manifest in queer films about gay pornography. Coming up next, we're going to take a listen to some of the chat that we had with Jamison Pierce when his short film Adult screened at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival and subsequently the Greek Film Festival. And we'll also be speaking with Tomer Heyman, the director of Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. So full program this evening. Stay tuned. There's more coming up right after this. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are looking at the representation of gay pornography in queer cinema, and in particular, we're looking at how queer cinema employs representations of pornography to explore the relationship between religion, culture, familial duty, and sexual liberation. Is that too far a stretch?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
I think you're grasping.
Sexuality.
Yeah. Sexuality.
Perhaps, let's go with sexuality.
Freedom. Sexual freedoms, possibly.
In particular, we're looking at the way that films which explore the mother-child relationship use that trope of gay pornography to do exactly that, to explore identity. And one film which did that was Adult. This is the short film from Jamison Pierce that screened at MQFF a few years back. And when it screened at MQFF, we sat down with Jamison Pierce, the director of the film, and had a chat to him about, you know, this adaptation of Christos Chalkas's short story Porn One.
It's about their relationship, although you never really see them interact.
Yeah.
So it's about her grief. And I remember when I read the short story for the first time, I was just totally gutted. And it conveys so powerfully and poignantly because this woman, you find out she's kind of the victim of this terrible grief. You know, they say there's nothing worse for a parent to lose their child. And she is in one way also kind of, she's enabled this loss without giving away the story, I guess. But you get a sense that she sort of pushed her son away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel her loneliness and her grief and its overwhelming sort of dimensions at the same time as you get a sense of her regret and deep regret. So it was that combination which I think was so moving.
I feel like that's the case with a lot of Christos's work, his best work. Mm. I mean, I still remember reading Loaded many years ago and responding to it so passionately as well. His best work has a way of cutting across the intersections of family and class, but also sexuality. And I think that's exactly what this short film does as well.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's always important. I think what is so great about his work is that he is able to combine all those elements of, sort of, I guess, identity politics, but not allow those to ever outweigh the humanity of his characters.
Yeah.
So you always feel like they're a person rather than just a Greek working class person.
Right.
It doesn't descend into cliche. And yeah, that was important. I loved about the short story too, the way that it plays this archetype of a grieving mother, which I think is, you know, deeply embedded in, well, Western cultures. And here you have this woman who, you know, is part of that archetypal construction, but you get a sense that she's got her own secrets and her own
shame and
deep
guilt.
Flaws.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was Jamison Pierce, the director of the short film Adult, which came out a few years ago, did the festival circuit, screened at a number of festivals around the country and internationally. And Jamison there talking about some of the themes which his short film Adult explores, particularly the relationship between the mother, who is the protagonist of this short film, and her son, who dies before the film really commences, and who she finds out was a gay porn star.
And a drug addict who died of a drug overdose.
Yes,
I mean, that sort of trope came through, but
themes that resonate particularly well with the documentary that we're looking at this evening. The documentary is, of course, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. It's the new documentary from Tomer Heyman, who I think, Alan, a lot of our listeners will remember Tomer Heyman from films like Mr. Gaga, Who's Gonna Love Me Now. These are films that we've looked at on the program before, and indeed Tomer's joined us in each instance to have a chat about the film. So wonderful to welcome him back to the studio this evening to have a chat about his latest documentary, which has been screening right around the world.
Mm.
Of course, it screens later this month as part of the Jewish International Film Festival, which screens at a number of cinemas here, both here in Victoria and in New South Wales. Do you have the dates there of the Jewish International Film Festival?
I do, as it so happens. Here in Melbourne, it's the film festival will be screening from October 23rd to November 21. So it's actually a rather large film festival over nearly 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, close to 60 films will be showing, and it'll be screening at the Classic, Lido and Cameo Cinemas here in Melbourne.
Fantastic. So we've had Eddie on the program a number of times as well to talk about this film festival, and they always do a great job at spotlighting independent, niche, queer Jewish films.
Of which this one is very niche. It's very brave.
It is a brave documentary.
There are no holds barred. You see everything, hear everything, and it opens all the doors.
Well,
all the windows.
Our lovely co-host Gina, I mean, I know how desperate she was to be here for tonight's topic.
She was.
Look, gay porn is her thing. And but I messaged her as soon as I started watching this documentary, because of course she's at home with her lovely daughter this evening, who's unwell. And I messaged her and I said, it's probably best you watch this film alone.
Yeah, it's definitely not kiddie. It's definitely not kiddie friendly at all. Jonathan Agassi is quite a famous Israeli porn star. He had a breakout film with the Lucasfilm called Men of Israel. And by all accounts, that took the world by storm.
Well, certainly the
apparently
documentary...
Apparently it was a best-selling porn video of the year and for quite some time.
Well, you know, I trust that you would know, Alan, but really...
It was in the documentary.
Creates this kind of mythology around Jonathan Agassi, doesn't it? And around his work.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know how much of that is true, but this comes back to what we were talking about before. You know, documentaries often are narratives, aren't they? And certainly this documentary paints a picture about the life of Jonathan Agassi. And what it seeks to do, I think, is then undercut that picture, this kind of glamorous tale of this successful gay porn star and escort, and kind of undercut it with the reality of his life. And a lot of that centres on the relationship he shares with his mum.
And I think the filmmakers have to do that, because what you see on the screen is an absolute fantasy.
Mm.
And so what they're doing is peeling back that disguise to show us who the real person is.
Mm.
And I guess, and what we see here is we do see someone who has a very complicated relationship with his mother and his father
and his siblings. Yeah.
And also with himself.
Yes.
You know, we talked about themes of identity. Here is a film with Jonathan Agassi, who has a very poor sense of self, who absolutely lives in his own fantasy world. And it's almost inevitable that you do see his ultimate demise come out in this film.
Well, that's certainly where the film takes us, but I think the film really does celebrate. I mean, that's where it takes us, but I think this is a film that celebrates the relationship between mother and child and shows us, you know, what could be quite a subversive lifestyle.
Did you think that the relationship was a good relationship?
A healthy
relationship. Did you think it was healthy and positive?
I feel like that's not a question but a statement, Alan.
No, well, you know, when I'm watching this relationship play out on screen, what I see here is I see her living quite a limited, financially strapped life, and here is her cash loaded son.
Well, he's not cash loaded.
Well, he is there for that time while he is a porn star and he's escorting and he's living that that jet-setting lifestyle. He is loaded with cash and he's supporting his mother at home.
But I got the sense that that was all for show and that none of that was real.
See, that's why I was saying, do you feel that this relationship was healthy? Because what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a mother who is who is only tolerating her son's excesses because he's supporting her. That's what I'm taking out of that.
I didn't see that. I saw her as a very accepting, open-minded mother who supported her son. And certainly he shared everything with her, everything. And she was open to it. And they had a very close relationship, very, very close. Interestingly, Tormeir has done a number of Q&As with Jonathan and his mother, Jonathan. His name is Jonathan. With him and his mother. And I think that would be very interesting to see the film and then have a Q&A with Jonathan, his mother, and Tormeir and talk about and ask about the relationship and how much of it this film fantasizes.
Well, we should ask him when we get him on the phone in a few minutes. But the other thing that came up for me was his relationship with his father. I think that was, a real source of pain and damage for him. And I think the film sort of explores that kind of darker territory in a more meaningful way for me about his relationship with his father than his relationship with his mother. I kind of felt that was all a bit vanilla and possibly a little bit codependent. And here some of the true problems that he has with his own identity and some of his own fantasy world is actually his relationship with his dad, who, I think that was almost just as important as his relationship with his mum.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think they're explored, as you say, in very different ways. And certainly I think the film or the documentary takes a very different approach to each relationship. So, look, interesting questions. We are speaking with Tormeir Heyman this evening, the director of this new documentary, Jonathan Agassi's Save My Life. In fact, we're speaking with him right after this. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9. We are, of course, looking at the way that queer cinema explores gay pornography and uses gay pornography as a plot device to interrogate the relationship between religion, culture, familial duties, and, of course, sexuality. And one of the reasons that we're looking at this topic this evening is to celebrate and spotlight the new documentary from Tormeir Heyman. Now, Tormeir, I think, will be familiar, Alan, to a lot of our listeners, mm-hmm. for his work with Mr. Gaga, Who's Gonna Love Me Now. These are documentaries that we've looked at on the program before. And Tormeir's new documentary, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life, is a really intimate and fresh look at the world of gay pornography and escorting, and really, in particular, the unique relationship between a gay porn star here, Jonathan Agassi, and his mother. It screens this month as part of the Jewish International Film Festival. So joining us on the phone to celebrate this new documentary is Tormeir Heyman himself. Tormeir, thank you so much for joining us on Outtakes this evening.
Hello. And for me, it's really not obvious either you choose the topic, the subject, and also sharing the fresh documentary, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life, with audience in Australia, because for some countries, some cultures, some people, it's sometimes too dark, too heavy, and it's open many taboo issues. So I'm very happy about the possibility to share more about my movie.
And, how exciting to see it screening here in Melbourne as part of the Jewish International Film Festival. I know it's doing the festival circuit here in Australia more broadly. So wonderful to see it screening, because this really is a unique story that you're telling us. We have not seen a documentary like this before, a documentary that explores what is really, some might say a bit of a strange relationship between mother and child here.
I don't see it as a strange, I really see it as a really modern, unique offer to the world. It's really against the cliché of what it means a Jewish mother that wish that her son lawyer or dentist with money, good job, and going to Harvard. Jonathan Agassi, who was born with different name, local name in the really small town in Israel, you know, forced the mother to ask deep question about what it means to be a good mother and how can you still keep the door open for your son. In this case, it's your son. It can be also your daughter, but Jonathan is a man. And for me, it really also was a mirror for me as a new father, like a big question. What are you doing when your children have different choices from what you believe? I mean, different values, different style of life. In this case, you know, drug, escorting, sex industry. And this Jewish mother, Anna, I think really sent us home with a different state of mind. I found it really relevant and also very powerful from her side to say, okay, I'm not happy at all that my son chose this career. Basically, in a one-on-one conversation, she hates all the porn industry. She hates the idea. She's a really shy person, a really shy woman. But she realized, if I will be this kind of mother that might say to my son, no, 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 don't come back as long as you're doing this kind of things. Don't come home. You don't have any more place that we call bite home in Israel. Come only when you clean. Come when you are as I want. She told me, you know, Tomer, he will be a dead person in the street and I need to go to the grave and to pray for him. And I choose something else. I choose to tell him, Jonathan, the door is open. And this is almost one of the reasons Jonathan now clean from drugs and left the sex industry jump many years later. So it's not obvious relationship.
Well, Tomer, thanks for describing that, because I was about to ask you. I think, you know, it is very clear in the film that his mother was very accepting and did have an open door policy and really embraced or at least didn't judge him for his life choices. But I guess for me, after watching the film and seeing that really disturbing scene where Jonathan has almost a psychotic break from his drug use, I was just wondering what role or what impact did his mother have in trying to get him out of the drug scene? Because that didn't come across at all, really, in the film.
Yeah, because as long I know Jonathan and Anna for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the movie is a soft version of Jonathan's life. Mm. People might come to the cinema to see Jonathan Agassi Save My Life and say, wow, it's hardcore, and how we show it. But to explain to the people who listen to you, it was 5 years of being addicted to very heavy drugs, which is GHB, the G drug, even it's called the rape drug, and crystal meth. And it was 24-7 per like almost 5 years. I pushed Jonathan to the airplane in Berlin. I paid the tickets for him. I pushed him back to tell him, it's not good for you anymore. You're going down and down. And I called to Anna and I told her, your son is not in a good situation. And then he starts for a year to be isolated from the outside world. I mean, his mother gave him her room. And he slowly, slowly realized that he might lose more than he earned by using this drug. But one level to answer you is like when Jonathan saw himself in the movie, he told me, Tomer, don't dare to take this hard moment when I'm completely out. Don't dare to cut it out from the movie. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, I asked Jonathan, give me your borders. Give me your, what is the limit? How far I can go with this movie? How can I show it to audience? And when he came to the editing room and he saw himself, first of all, he didn't remember this moment. He said, no, it's not me. Mm. It's not me. I told him, Jonathan, you have one narrative. You remember the sexy side of the porn. You remember the sexy side of the party, the drugs. And this movie is doing the opposite action. The movie kills the ability to have joy from porn. The movie kind of killed the way of enjoying from drugs. It's really a mirror for people. So I think also what helped Jonathan is to see himself and to realize, wow, I'm not going back to these low places in my life. Mm. And I think it's also very important to talk about the family context, because we talked about drugs and sex, but the movie is really also try to say something about the responsibility of what it's meant to be father and mother in our world, because the father left him and then the trauma around 12. And for me, it's also a very strong message to all the straight men that have love or sex one night with a woman in Colombia, in Canada, in Australia, in Israel. And then, they're traveling. And then 9 months later, someone comes to this world, a boy, a girl. And it's really a big question, how we take responsibility, what kind of responsibility we take once we are, switched to be parents. And the movie really forces you to think deeply about it. What are you doing with it?
And I think
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer, and the movie don't give you an answer, but the movie push you to think for yourself about what's going to be each of your audience choices about themselves.
Right. And that we love that. We don't always need answers, but what we do need is the questions. And this documentary really does provide us with a great exploration of different parenting figures and the relationship that they share with their son. And you do that in Who's Gonna Love Me Now? And you do it in this documentary, and it's really meaningfully done. The other thing that I found really meaningful about this documentary was your exploration of the way, the boy Yonatan turned into Jonathan Agassi, and the way that he struggled as a child. And I found that whole backstory, the whole exploration of his struggles as a child and as an adolescent, so powerful.
Yeah, and also it was, for me, a very strong mirror for me as a gay person in Israel, out of my closet, as a gay person in my community, why we, us, the gay people, some of us, I think, including me, sometimes we have these choices that we go against ourselves. We found something like to be sensitive, it's like to be feminine, to be like soft, to be weak, as something very negative. And then Jonathan chose this persona, to be very macho, to have hair, to be like a man. And basically, he stopped listening to himself. Mm-hmm. Because the little boy, he was very sensitive with a big heart, and life really left trauma on him. We need to talk about it. The society, the neighborhood, the way they talk to him as a young boy in Israel that was considered as gay, so they start to talk really nasty and came with knife and forced him to jump from the second floor. And, he carried a lot of trauma. But it's a big question, what are we doing with our painful moment in life, with our trauma, how we can build something better than just going to the same routine. Honestly, it's not just the character is very radical, the movie is also radical, and I was very surprised, and it was a huge meaningful for me that the premiere in Australia, it's going to be in the Jewish Film Festival. Have to understand that for me, it makes it even double special meaning, because it's a Jewish film festival, and it makes this new generation of Judaism, when we more open, we ask questions, we're part of the world. But at the same time, many Jewish film festival told me, no chance we're going to present this movie.
Really?
No chance. With this very old-fashioned thinking,
Yeah.
And I'm surprised because people want to hear also from Israel, different side of the Israel society and the Jewish society.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
Only about fight and Holocaust, we also have sex, we're living our life. And I want to be there, I've been twice with Mr. Gaga and Who's Gonna Love Me Now. So hopefully we can talk to the audience. Jonathan wants to call and to have Skype with audience, also maybe with you one day. It's really interesting to hear Jonathan Agassi this time. He's working in a local supermarket in Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Left completely the porn industry and also have a very strong statement about drugs. Because he tried everything. He tried everything. And I don't know how much, if you can share with me, how much is the problem also in Australia, the drug situation, especially the crystal meth? This is a big issue like here and like London?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. So I think, in terms of, what this film has to say about drug use, I think that's very relevant, and I think it's also a very relevant message for the LGBTIQ community here in Australia as well. So, you know, that's something that we've looked at on the program before, but I think it is, as you say, just and well-deserved and perfect that it is screening at the Jewish International Film Festival. They have a long tradition. I can't speak for other Jewish film festivals around the world, but certainly the film festival that runs here at the Lido and Classic, amongst other cinemas, have a long tradition of supporting queer Jewish films with gay that spotlight gay issues. I think they do it really, really well, and I think it's wonderful to see your documentary screening at this festival.
So we will wait to hear if people want to write us, you know, to Jonathan Agassi or to me, to Rehman, any kind of reaction and feedback from parents of kids, from kids, from people who might by themselves these days in the sex industry and believe it's a beautiful life, you know. Connect to what you said at the beginning. I saw almost any movies that was made about either a porn or drug, not only for gay straight. I don't want to say all of them, but mainly all of them doing something very simple. Instead to give you a mirror, they kind of make something sexy and almost like in entertainment when it comes to drug scenes. You understand my point? You start to use the music, you start to, and people still believe this narrative, what Jonathan for many years told himself, wow, the party was amazing, the drugs were amazing. No one really talked honestly and open, like Jonathan agreed at the end of the movie, you remember, he had this monologue, says, wow, I was stoned for 5 years, I don't remember basically who I was.
Yeah.
But this movie, not cooperate with this manipulation, you know what I mean? With saying this is beautiful and sexy. No, people, it's not.
Oh, I think that came out very. I think that came out very clearly, Tamir. That cataloging or describing his descent into this self-destructive drug-taking addiction, I think that it came across very clearly that it was not glamorous, that this was damaging, and then it would wind up, and it would eventually wind up killing him, as you say. And I guess essentially that's potentially where the title came from. Jonathan Agassi saved his life.
Yeah, he believed it. You know, for less tension, maybe the whole movie asks questions. This freedom we have, we are a generation to have sex everywhere with whoever we want, any kind of fantasy, is it only freedom or sometimes it's almost jail that we don't know what to do anymore with this freedom? So this is also, the title is a little bit ironic, like save your life, destroy this life, which I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And the audience will go home and ask themselves, this is what I hope.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's
people like smart enough and sensitive enough to decide by themselves.
Wonderful to hear how passionate you are about the issues that this documentary explores. As I said, you know, wonderful to see it screening at the Jewish International Film Festival here, and I really do look forward to seeing how audiences respond to this documentary. I think it will certainly find its audience here. So thank you so much for joining us on the program this evening, Tomer. It's been a pleasure to speak to you again.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thanks, Tomer. Good night.
That was Tomer Heyman, the director of Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. It's the new documentary that he brings us. He's brought us Mr. Gaga, Who's Gonna Love Me Now. These are documentaries that, just like Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life, really do explore the tension between sexuality and familial duty and religion and culture and all of these big ideas. But they bring it down to a very personal level, don't they? And here what we have is gay pornography, just like in the short film Adult, just like in Justin Kelly's King Cobra. We have pornography being used as this lens through which to examine identity.
It does, but I'd also like to, what are your thoughts then, Daniel, about using pornography here to have as a commentary about the gay community and also about our gay society? What does this say about us?
Well, I think that all facets of queer life, LGBTIQ life, and here gay life, should be on the table in terms of filmic representation. I don't believe that anything should be off the table in terms of filmic representation. So I think it's only fitting that we now have a stream of queer cinema that deals with gay pornography and the way that gay pornography factors in to queer life. The gay community is an inherently sexual community. I mean,
it's true.
When we talk about gay men, we're referring to someone's sexuality.
True.
Pornography is not an unimportant facet of gay life, therefore, and certainly the ideas that pornography explores about sexuality are all very important. So
what does this really say about the porn industry itself and how it potentially uses up its talent?
Well,
in order to satisfy some desire of the gay consumer. I mean,
but
it's coming across as almost as you know, the gay community, the fact that it consumes pornography is unethical, and it leads someone like Jonathan Agassi leads to a very damaging self-destructive arc, potentially lead to their death.
I think it was very interesting hearing Tomer talk about his new documentary, because clearly he has a particular take. It's very clear that, you know, he doesn't view, at least to me, it was clear that he didn't view the pornography industry very well. I mean, there was a lot of disdain there for the way that the industry really swallowed Jonathan Agassi. And, you know, I think...
No pun intended.
I think we've talked about this before, the way that King Cobra, for instance, highlights the way that gay youth is monetized and commercialized. You spoke quite a bit about that the last
time
we looked at...
I'm glad to hear that you agree with me now. You've come full circle.
I think that... these films do, and you know, going down in La La Land is another film that explores the way that the pornography industry kind of uses and abuses. But you know, I don't want to make any moral judgments about pornography. That's not what we're doing here.
But I think this film, in a sense, it had a message, and it made me feel a certain way at the end of the film. Like I think I came away feeling slightly dirty, in a sense. I felt like, you know, that there was a certain amount of responsibility that came along with that as a member of the gay community. And I wonder, how did you feel about that? Well, there was definitely a visceral response.
I think the documentary was designed to make us feel uncomfortable. You know, hearing Tomer talk about the industry, it's clear that this documentary, as you say, has a message, and I think it conveys that message. So, you know, I do, as Tomer does, look forward to seeing how audiences respond to this documentary, both queer audiences and Jewish audiences. If you do want to find out more about the Jewish International Film Festival, or indeed Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life and when it screens at the Jewish International Film Festival, do head to www.jif.com.au, where you can find out all about the program, including Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life. That's it for another week of Outtakes.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.